It's like a scene from Alfred Hitchcock's The Cats up there. Like, I turn around, they're all staring at me. I'm like, what? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk to Norm Barrett Wick from Camp Quest, Minnesota. We discuss Camp Quest, his five answers to our questions, and we finally settle the poop joke bet.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. This week we have our guest, Norm Barrett Wick, who is from...
No relation.
Who is from Camp Quest, a secular humanist camp for kids. Did I get that right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So welcome. And as you... Oh, I'm sorry. We have our hosts, Molly Glover, and my husband, Nick Glover,
hey.
And Tim Wick.
Hi, that's me.
All right. So we're all here, and welcome, Norm.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thanks for coming.
So I just wanted to ask you just briefly if you want to give us the rundown on Camp Quest, just kind of sketch broad strokes for our listening audience who may not be aware.
All right. Well... Camp Quest, it got started in the mid-90s, kind of remembering back, that was when, I think the gay rights movement kind of really started to take off then, and sort of maybe in reaction, the Boy Scouts of America decided to kind of more emphasize their anti-gay policy a little bit more,
yeah.
And that had the effect of, pissing off a lot of people within the organization, and one of them was a guy named Edwin Kagan, who is an atheist and a lawyer. He's a native of Kentucky, and he was also an Eagle Scout, and decided that with the organization really kind of pumping up its anti-gay rhetoric, that this is not something I want to be associated with anymore. Good. And he kind of saw a need that within the kind of growing humanist atheist community that we need to build a little bit more youth development programs there, and so he decided to start Camp Quest, and they had their first camp in 1996.
So that was in Kentucky that it started?
Yeah, it started in northern Kentucky, and I think that one is now based in the southern part of Ohio, that kind of runs somewhere around the Cincinnati area. But since that beginning in 1996, we have expanded to... We have several franchises now across the United States. There's the original one in Ohio. We have one in Tennessee, Michigan, Minnesota. We were the fourth one. We started in, had our first camp in 2004.
We're number four.
It's getting tough to keep track of all the new ones that are kind of coming online. We've got one in the kind of Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area.
Oh, okay.
We've got
cool.
one in Texas,
I think
Oklahoma.
I saw you have one in the U.K.
There are a couple of international affiliates
that's
as well.
We
have sort of looser ties with them than the other camps in the United States.
I suppose it's going to depend upon if the majority of a country is religious, then it's probably something that's more needed, because you're setting up something for a minority. If it's a country that's mostly non-religious, you don't really need to. It's not
It's less of a need.
Right.
Less of a need
But
definitely within the U.S., there are several markets where we could expand to. I know we actually have a location in South Carolina.
Oh,
that's
wow.
one of our main ones below the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Indeed. Yes.
And you're not like Jesus Camp, but for atheist kids.
One of the biggest misconceptions,
like
that people
teaches
who
kids
just come,
atheist or something.
Yeah.
People
will often maybe find us on the internet or something like that, and you remember this documentary from a few years ago called Jesus Camp?
Terrifying.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. The scariest.
Absolutely
one
terrifying.
Of the scariest things I've ever seen. And some people will just make that leap saying, oh, this is Jesus Camp, but for atheists. And
no.
it is kind of one of our founding, part of our founding philosophy is that we do not do indoctrination. We are
It's not atheist camp, it's secular camp.
True, but there are lots of secular camps out there.
Sure.
I went to secular language camp.
Like language camps, computer camp, science camp.
Sure.
But kind of where Camp Quest differs is in its emphasis primarily on critical thinking, and it's kind of giving kids the skills to evaluate ideas on their own terms and to go out and look at the evidence, use logic and kind of the rules of the scientific method to evaluate claims that they find in the world, both religious claims and and non-religious claims.
Conclusions.
Lots of like science, I'm guessing. And right.
We do a lot of science stuff, and we also do a lot of kind of ethical discussions.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. You know, age appropriate, of course. We have kids from we accept kids as young as 8 and wow. as old as 17. And when they're 16 and 17 years old, some of the programs, including Minnesota, we have counselor and training programs
that
kids who have been coming for a few years, they can, you know, have a little bit of extra responsibility, kind of gain some leadership skills, things
work
like
with
that.
The younger kids,
but there's also canoeing, right?
Oh yes.
this is Minnesota, and if you don't have canoeing in camp, then it's not camp.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely all your kind of traditional summer camp activities.
Good.
You know, the place we use in Minnesota is like, you know, right next to a lake, and
could it not be? I mean, really,
that's essential. So.
Since they're all over the country, there are places, you know, warmer than here. Mm-hmm. Do they only run in the summer? Or do they run year round in warmer climes?
They're pretty much within the traditional summer months, and
okay.
you know, they're probably, you know, two or three different camps going during each of the, you know,
sessions.
Main weeks of the summer.
Yeah.
And
is it just day camp or is it?
It's a residential camp. You're,
nice.
You know, most of the places that are, you know, we rent a facility in Minnesota. It's kind of right on the western edge of the metro area beyond Lake Minnetonka called Voyager Environmental Center. They're run by the Boys and Girls Clubs. Really excellent location. We've used
cool.
them since we started. And
Is it a single week out of the year that you do Camp Quest in Minnesota, or are there multiple weeks?
Well, in Minnesota, we've been doing a single week since we started out in 2004, but we've actually now got to the point where we are filling up camp within, like, you know, a couple months of registration being opened in January, and so we've been having to, you know, turn some kids away because we just can't fit them anymore.
Right.
And so this year we're actually going to expand to offer 2 weeks of camp to help to, you know, offer the program to more kids and, you know, maybe give some of them a little flexibility that, you know, if this week doesn't work, it can go to the other week. And
Yeah, just that scheduling flexibility might even get more people
having
the option.
Right.
Well, and your camp, it's run by volunteers.
We are all volunteers at the local level.
That's amazing.
Completely nonprofit.
So that makes
yep.
I can see why it'd be. I mean, that's a huge undertaking to double the number of days that you're open for camp.
Yes,
that's incredible.
We do have kind of there's a national organization called Camp Quest Inc. that sort of, you know, oversees all the franchises in the United States, and, you know, we do kind of a, you know, share programming, and we're kind of getting a bit more of a legal structure as to what a Camp Quest has to be and that sort of thing. We have one paid staff member at that level, but everything else is completely volunteer. Mm. We do this on our own time, and, you know, a lot of people will, you know, want to come to be, you know, on staff at the camp, will take a week out of their schedule, usually using some PTO or something like
right.
that, mm-hmm. to come out and volunteer at the camp. So,
sure.
So money that comes into Camp Quest goes to, I read you wrote to us and you were saying that no child has ever been turned away for financial reasons. So I'm guessing it goes to cover some of that. And like, what other things does the money that you guys take in, donations, like where does that go?
So the money we take in, like, you know, we do charge the, like, most of the, like, you know, average range for most of the camps
mm-hmm.
is between $500 and $600. In Minnesota, we're a little bit lower than that. And
which
then,
is really reasonable
that's
for
super reasonable.
Week
yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
so
that's what
a,
we were paying when I went to camp
yeah.
in the 80s.
I went to Boy Scout
yeah,
camp.
We've kind of made a conscious decision to price the camp to parents less than, you know, it would actually cost to go to camp, and to
mm-hmm.
try and make the rest up
sure.
in donations, which we've been able to do so far, which is awesome. And in Minnesota, we've, like I say, never had to turn a child away for financial reasons whatsoever.
That's amazing.
So.
That's super great.
So, but expanding to 2 weeks, I imagine the costs maybe don't necessarily double, but they certainly increase.
Right.
By a pretty significant margin.
It's
so.
True, really.
We were talking about maybe doing a donation thing for Camp Quest with our website.
We're definitely going to do a donation thing for Camp Quest.
I wasn't sure if we were announcing it yet, or
I think we are.
I think we just did.
I was saving it for the end, but that's cool.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
My husband's so hot shot.
This is what we get for not talking about this shit ahead of time.
Right, we're super professionals.
They tune in for the irreverency and the unpreparedness. So one of the ways that you can help, I mean, I'm sure you're listening and you're like, holy cow, this sounds like an amazing thing. I mean, maybe you have kids, maybe you don't have kids. Like, you know, we've talked about this, Nick and I aren't having kids, but I'm all for this sort of camp for kids, and to help encourage kids who maybe they don't even self-identify as atheist or agnostic, but they just to not get that indoctrination, which you guys are saying
camp
that it's very important.
Awesome experience for
camp
a kid.
Camp is an awesome experience.
Yeah. I mean, I was a Boy Scout. I mean, it's a life rank. My grandparents sent me to a Lutheran week-long summer camp as a kid.
Yeah, I did a few of those myself.
It was one of the most miserable experiences of my entire life. I have no hyperbole. It was
too,
bad.
I went to YMCA camp, and if you go to YMCA camp, there's church
Bible stuff
and Bible stuff. Not
I did that.
I went to Spanish camp. There was no church stuff at Spanish camp. But they pray over meals, so there's
Norm,
that.
Norm actually wrote for the book Atheist Voices of Minnesota.
That's kind of how we met. We're both in the book there.
So. Oh, awesome.
A great holiday gift for
Atheist Voices of Minnesota. There's two people right now. There's all kinds of authors.
Everybody we're talking to
the show
is an author. It's great. But his essay actually talks a lot about that experience at camp. We actually both wrote essays about experiences at camp. And leading to working with Camp Quest,
Atheist Camp Twinsies.
So do you? I know that a lot of times, this sort of atheist, agnostic, like skeptic community encourages children to experience all kinds of religions to try to get an idea of all of it. More because I know a lot of atheists, we have a more comprehensive view of religion than the religious do. Out of curiosity, do you do that at Camp Quest? Have there been any instances?
We have definitely in Minnesota. In the past we have actually invited representatives from various faith traditions to come in and speak to the kids about what they believe and where that comes from.
And like, I'm guessing focus on education and exposure rather than like proselytizing a platform
letting them know what they believe and kind of the history behind it and kind of one of my favorite moments from camp is one of the years when I was a counselor the first 5 years of the camp, and then I had kids, and so I can't really do that much until they're older, but it was I think in 2007 we actually invited a representative from the Baha'i faith, when you first find out about it most people think, oh, this looks actually not too bad. I mean, they're very they're a more modern religion, and they have a bit more of a we take from everything, and there are multiple revelations over the course of the centuries, and they believe that there is this the Baha'u'llah who came in the 19th century in Iran, who was like the revelation for that particular time period.
Okay.
But we had a couple of representatives out at the camp 1 year, and the discussion was going pretty well. And then one of the kids asked him what their stance on homosexuality was, and they actually, said that that's not something that we agree with. We think it's against nature. And the kids just kind of were immediately turned off by that.
Awesome.
And they started to pick these guys apart.
Like
nobody's business. I mean, this is entirely unprompted by me or any of the other counselors. This
is just
the kids realizing that, maybe this isn't as great as
this
we think, and we have to, maybe come out and challenge these things.
This is you putting the tools in those kids' hands and then them using the tools.
Using the tools in the appropriate way.
I would love to see a Baha'i representative taken down by a group of 8-year-olds.
That's basically what it was.
Sounds amazing.
It was quite a sight to behold.
Critical thinking, like logic and reason, it's not super complicated. At its basis, it's very simple ideas. It's just, and so it is something that even a kid can grasp onto and use and analyze what they're hearing and try to figure out whether or not it's legit. And so it's funny that like even kids armed with this knowledge can kind of think for themselves and defend against grown adults who have very cemented beliefs.
Well, and I think the problem that we face is that critical thinking is not something that we really teach our kids, and that's the great thing about Camp Quest.
I remember reading it earlier this summer in Texas, their state board of education was saying that we should not teach these higher order thinking skills because they might they might inspire kids to challenge what they've been taught in church or by their parents or something like that, which is entirely the wrong direction to go. But
I remember
Texas,
critical thinking
in Texas, the board of education is a 2x4.
I remember in like elementary school going to critical thinking like classes and that being a focus. Like I remember that very specifically. I remember that being awesome and really liking it.
You were in a really cool school then.
There was at Spanish camp. So if you go to, I went to Concordia Language Villages for.
I totally did that for French.
I did, yeah. I did it for 5 years, and so my fifth year, I was there for a month, which is a college credit. So I was there for two-week sessions, and my little brother came and joined me for the second two-week session. But so in between the two sessions, we got to go into town, which is in Bemidji, and like do laundry and buy something at the Walgreens.
Not speak Spanish
for a little while. One of the things they could do, you could go to church. And I remember this girl making this big fucking deal about how she couldn't go to church the Sunday and the Sunday, because you're gone for three Sundays, because it's like a pick up and leave on a Sunday thing. And she made this huge fucking deal about it and was like, "You're infringing on my rights and I should be allowed to go into town to go to church." And they're like, "We're not driving you into town.
Nobody's stopping you from praying."
Well, and that's exactly what they said. And she was like so angry about it and like so up in arms. And it was this like, someone tried to reason with her and just say like, "But it shouldn't matter if you're in church or not, right? If God is, omnipotent and all this stuff. I mean, can't you just go and praise him on your own?" And she's like, "You don't understand anything about religion," and like stomped away. And I was like, okay.
No, I'm pretty sure you're the one that got it.
It's like, they're sponsored by Concordia, which is a Lutheran school in Moorhead. My sister went there.
Yep. There wasn't a church. They didn't, it would just be so silly to do that. Like, they had all this other stuff planned, so.
Yeah, you were there to learn Spanish.
Right. Yeah. And camaraderie and, like, good sportsmanship and the other things you learn at camp.
Well, and you, because I've heard you talk about camp so frequently.
I loved camp.
The type of Spanish that they were teaching you was more of a, like, European Spanish?
No, it was all over. My teacher in high school was Cuban, and then I had Guatemalan and South American teachers, mostly, like Central and South American counselors. But there were some counselors from Spain who had the lisp that Los Españoles do. They lisp their S's, and then like it was cool.
Just an accented lisp.
Anyway, I got good memories of camp. So.
Well, I mean, my experience with, and I went 1 year for French, but I mean, they call them language villages because they try to create a sort of living experience.
It's kind of like festival.
Yeah.
No, it is.
It is.
It is. Everything
only with language.
Yeah.
But they try to create, that they've got a store and shops and things like that, and they want to teach you how to live in an environment. Yeah.
Did the Voyagers come to your camp?
To
do trades?
I don't think so.
They came to ours.
But that would be
so, like,
awesome.
Are the grounds for Camp Quest Minnesota, is it, I'm assuming it's sleeping cabins and, like, mess hall, dining hall type thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are there, like, arts buildings? Like, do you guys do stuff? Like, is there, like, certain places? Do they have schedules? I mean...
We definitely have a schedule.
Yeah.
I was at a planning retreat about a couple weekends ago where we just started kind of getting the schedule ready for next year and kind of making some changes to the general flow of the day and that sort of thing. And, one of the things that we've been doing in Minnesota each year is to kind of choose a theme for the programming each year.
Sure.
We've done astronomy, we've done geology. Last year we did oceans, and this year we're going to be doing kind of the mind and brain, and so we're going
to do
stuff with neuroscience
and psychology.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah,
psychology and neuroscience is the stuff that fascinated me the most as a kid. Like, that's awesome.
The layout of the facility that we use is, like, they're kind of two banks of sleeping cabins kind of off in the woods.
Okay.
It's about, you can hold about a dozen kids in each cabin plus the counselors, and then it's kind of a main lodge that has a dining hall, and then there are kind of classroom facilities in the bottom floor where you can do kind of arts and crafts stuff and educational activities. And then
are all the kids all together, or do you separate it down into groups?
For most of the educational activities, we do kind of separate them into age groups, and each of the programs are sort of tailored to, there's kind of the younger kids, there's, kind of middle-aged, 12, 13-year-old kids, and then there's kind of the older high school age kids, and we kind of tailor the programs to each of those.
Mm-hmm.
age groups and, you know, present material appropriate to their level of understanding and
cool
that sort of thing. So,
you know, before we move on, I think we should just say, is there anything else that you really want to tell people about about Camp Quest so we don't miss something?
Well, we are all the camps do have the 501c3 status, so we're all, you know, donations are all tax deductible, and
the donations you can make on our website.
That's right. We're going to have a donation button up on our website,
that's
aren't
true.
We? It's
true.
As soon as this episode goes up or something like
that. We should have it by the time.
I was working on it today.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and we also, you know, most of the registration for camps begin usually in the first part of January, and so if you're looking to send your kid to one of the camps, get in on it early.
When does it happen?
In Minnesota, we are going to have our camps in the last 2 weeks of July. I think the first one will start on the 21st of July, a Sunday, and then then it'll be the 28th of July going into the first part of August. And so, we've traditionally had camp around that time of year. And so we're just adding the second week.
And there's financial aid available.
Yes, there's definitely financial aid available. We do have scholarships, and please apply. You know, so I think we're hoping we can keep our price around we are at $489 for that's what it was
last
year.
Which is a great deal.
It's an
really
amazing deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, we explicitly, you know, try to make, you know, those, like, the cost to the parents is not what it costs to actually pay for the kid, the whole camp experience.
Sure,
and so we make a lot of that up through donations, and we've never been able to have to turn a kid away because of financial reasons.
That's great.
Right. So we've got a donation widget on our website, so you can just click on that and make a donation to Camp Quest, and I think we're doing a goal of $500, aren't we?
By the end of the year.
If we can get $500 by the end of the year, we would like Geeks Without God.
That'd be enough to pay for a scholarship.
All right. Help us send a kid to camp,
it'll be a Geeks Without God scholarship, everybody.
Help us send a kid to camp.
That's terrifying. A Geeks Without God, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
Your website's campquest.org?
The national website is campquest.org.
And for Minnesota.
It's cqminnesota.org.
cqminnesota.org.
And we'll make sure that there are links in the show notes.
Yeah, I have a video up there from the this past summer that is
that is adorable.
Great introduction to what camp is about, and you know, I encourage everyone to go and watch it, and you know,
excellent,
donate what they can. And
cool.
Well, before we go on to five questions, we had a bet to settle from last week.
Oh, yes, right. We do.
You may remember extremely drunk Molly and pretty drunk Nick making a bet about whether or not there was a poop joke in WALL-E. And Tim has watched WALL-E for us.
That's right. I was the arbiter of the bet.
Not the arbiter, as I kept saying. Boy. But that was rough. Okay,
in your defense, you were really drunk.
In my defense, I never want to listen to that podcast again. So what's the answer? Hold on.
No, I got to find out.
First, we gotta find out what we're gonna do.
Okay, so Nick, you are on the side that there is not a poop joke in WALL-E.
That's right. I don't think there's a poop joke in WALL-E. There might be a fart joke or, you know.
All right.
My reward, if I'm right.
My punishment for me.
No, my reward.
Oh.
The reward that I'm gonna share with the world.
Oh boy.
My wife Molly had a lisp when she was a kid, and there's one or two words she still struggles with. My favorite is thesaurus.
Oh, no.
And so I'm thinking just a YouTube clip of 15 seconds of you saying thesaurus.
Oh, no.
Over and over and over.
Oh, man. Do I have to say it fast?
It's fast and slow.
Ah, yeah.
We're going to.
Bad book.
I'll be off camera coaching you on how to say thesaurus.
All right.
So if I'm right. Next week, if you're right, we will have that YouTube, we'll have that clip available on the show notes for next week's show.
And if I'm right, so there's this drink that I love, and it is kombucha with chia seeds in it.
Oh, gross.
And it is cherry flavored, and it literally is like a fizzy fermented tea that's full of
globule
chia seeds.
It's alive.
It is literally alive. And I want you to drink it. You can drink a whole bottle.
It's so gross,
and
you guys.
I'm going to videotape you drinking a whole bottle.
Because
the seeds are chewy and yet gloppy.
It's
amazing.
Slime chunk. Slime chunk. That's how I'm going to describe it.
What's the name of this drink again?
Chia seed kombucha. I will buy
chia
it at the store.
Because it's kombucha, so it's technically fermenting, which doesn't redeem it at all. It's alive with life, and it's full slimy of chunky. And chunky. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Like, it's in nature's orbits.
All right, and you're going
to really,
take me
this is really tough, because I got to tell you, I would like to see both of these, but there can be only one winner. And I have watched WALL-E. I watched it all the way through. I watched it with a very critical eye. I was looking for any possible poop joke.
Come on, baby.
And there was not a single...
Yes, vindicated.
Oh, no. Oh, this is going to be so embarrassing.
There is not a single thing in that movie that I could possibly construe as a poop joke.
Just, all right.
I'm sorry.
It was a gentleman's agreement. Yeah,
So on next week's podcast, look for a video of Molly saying thesaurus.
Yep.
We will
give
not
him a preview, Molly.
No.
just a quick preview.
Thesaurus.
Oh, she tried really hard.
That's that was fast as she can go.
All right, let's move on to five questions.
All right, five questions with Norm. All right, so our first question is always, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
At home or in the theater or where?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago that my wife and I, we went to see Argo, which is kind of made my list. And I liked it especially because I'm what you would call an Iran geek. I've studied a lot of kind of ancient Persian history back in the day. And
that is a brilliant thing to be geeky about.
Yeah, like, you know, there aren't a whole lot of us out there, I've found. Yeah. But, you know, it's really kind of really interesting getting that kind of the window into that society because, you know, this was, 1979, 1980 when the hostage crisis was going on.
Yeah.
I was like 2 years old at that time, and so I have no living memory of it. And so it was very kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah.
Kind of portrayed in that way, and there is the first 5 minutes of the film is just kind of a really great introduction to, you know, kind of like 2,500 years of Iranian history in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And awesome. It kind of sets up that...
That's fantastic. You know,
was the storming of the embassy the best idea? Probably not, but did the Iranians have legitimate grievances against the U.S. government? Definitely.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, really still have yet to be resolved.
We recorded a podcast with Brianne Bilyeu, which is going to play in a couple of weeks, and she mentioned the same movie.
Okay.
And I've seen it. I don't know. Have you guys seen it?
No. We've seen it. We're going to keep playing catch up as fast as we can.
It's excellent. It's an excellent, excellent film.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's very funny, too, in certain parts, especially given the heavy subject matter.
Melissa Karchar, one of our first guests who designed our logo, she said that the credits at the end were... amazing and worth, you know, sitting through.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you why, but she's right. But she's right. The credits are terrific. Argo is a very good movie. I think it's going to be up for probably a few awards.
It's
quite deserving.
Our second question is, who's your favorite atheist character?
Okay, well, this is kind of this may be a bit non-traditional since I'm not exactly sure if he is technically an atheist, but it's a video game character from one of my favorite games of all time, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Ooh. Oh, and I fucking love that game.
It is Orin Dirai, who is the ancestor of the guy who's the narrator of the game, and you know
that game has such an incredibly big church message to it.
Yes, yeah, that's kind of why I love it.
It's the best political intrigue and like political having to do with like the church and the government and kings and all of that. Best of any video game I've ever played.
What makes you think this character is an atheist? Well,
mainly because he kind of inhabits a world where there's definitely some supernatural stuff going on. There's, you know, magic and demons that appear, and like, you know, as a main character, you know, you're kind of fighting against this kind of church organization that's working in the shadows to seize power against a larger backdrop of this.
It's kind of
a very Wars of the Roses sorts of conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
In a medieval setting, but there's...
Sometimes it's like they're doing bad things, but for the greater good, but then, like, they do some really fucked up shit in the name of the greater good.
Nice.
Right.
And there's lots of, like, selfishness and greed.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And that's awesome.
This character, Orin Dirai, he's kind of the stepson of pretty much the guy who's the tank in the game, who you acquire late in the game, who just kind of busts through everything in the battles and such. But, like I say, this is the stepson of this guy, and he is the one who sort of, you know, carries on the fight against this corrupt church organization that's trying to seize power and trying to expose the corruption and hypocrisy embedded in this organization. And eventually, awesome. You know, it doesn't end well for him, let's say.
Which yeah. Is, oh, no, spoilers.
It's a very, you know, just
when the game came out, like 1990,
like 97 or 98.
Yeah, we're good on spoilers. One of my favorite things about that game is that, like, you're playing this main character and you're doing this story, and then, like, history doesn't know the name of the protagonist.
Right.
It's completely lost. He wasn't the important one in history. Uh-huh. Like your buddy is the one who goes down.
Ends up becoming the king through, you know, various Machiavellian machinations.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're just some nameless asshole lost in history.
But then it's kind of the descendant of this character, this Orin character, who's kind of finds his like, you know, great-great-great-great-grandfather's papers that were never published because of their heretical nature, and
yeah,
you know, it's kind of the narrator for the story of the game.
Huh. That's awesome.
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing about it is that kind of, like, you know, in the battles of the game, you can actually acquire the atheist status.
Wow.
Either because you have an item, or there's a character, a job class called an orator that can enlighten you. Has an ability called Enlighten, and can lower your faith, and when you have zero faith, you become an atheist, and then no magic of any kind works on you, good or bad.
Sweet! That's so awesome!
So you can't get healed by magic, but at the same time, like, fireballs and shit don't do anything to you.
That's awesome.
That's a very nice
I've never had
cut.
To do more math than playing that game.
Okay, so our third question, what is your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby definitely has to be the promotion and advocacy for outer space based holidays and celebrations. I'm a huge space geek, and there are three observances that I like to promote each year. First is April 12th, which is Cosmonauts Day, the day that Yuri Gagarin and the Soviet Union
first
went into orbit, and, you know, it's celebrated by, like, you know, huge dance parties around the world and things like that. And
yeah, but not in America, because he was a commie.
No. we go to Moscow on the Hill with Hedge and her parents and stuff. They have all kinds of specials.
And then there's also the United Nations Space Week, which occurs in the first week of October, the 4th through the 10th, which is the anniversary of Sputnik, the launch of the first satellite.
Okay.
And
then, goddamn commies.
I know. They beat us to everything back then, you know.
Not democracy.
And then the third one, which is, a little bit more recent, was November 9th, which is the birthday of Carl Sagan, one of my favorite guys growing up. I kind of credit him and him along with Isaac Asimov are sort of the two people who sort of led me along the path to atheism. When I was a curious teenager, you know, wanting to learn about all these different religions and kind of finding out that, you know, they're really pretty much variations on the same theme, and none of them really have, you know, the answers to the big questions. And
I've written about it before. Mm-hmm. Carl Sagan was my first introduction to science and to critical thinking. I remember watching Cosmos with my dad when it first aired on PBS. And in Cosmos, one of the things he talks about is the idea that people say, well, you know, where did the universe come from? We don't know where the universe came from, so clearly God created it. And his question is, well, why not save a step and just say, we don't know where the universe came from? Because we don't know where God came from either. So it's an unnecessary
problem
step.
Problem of infinite regression.
Yeah.
God must have needed a creator as well. And
that was the first time anybody had suggested the possibility to me that God might not be a possibility. And even though I didn't really process it all the way through at that time, it was the first time that I experienced the idea of there not being a God. So Carl Sagan is a pretty amazing guy.
Did you see that SpaceX announcement today about the Mars?
I saw something about it, like Elon Musk, who's one of the big private space entrepreneurs.
They're trying to figure out how to get people the ability to settle on Mars for $500,000.
If I could raise $500,000, that'd be there.
That'd be awesome. So, like, people selling all their possessions and moving
does
to Mars.
Does my $500,000 provide me a space suit of some sort? Or do I have to... Everything. All right.
Yeah, it's going to provide you the ability to
move. It's an all-inclusive. It's an all-inclusive stay on Mars.
It's not like a boot. Like, here you go.
It's alcohol and
good luck. Here's your $500,000 boot.
Drinks and food included.
You got to send me that link so I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah. You're going there to live, so...
Yeah. All right, so what is your favorite sandwich and details?
It's actually been a while since I've had it, but I used to, for a while, I worked in downtown Minneapolis, and there's the Hell's Kitchen restaurant there, and I would go there every once in a while with a couple of friends, and their ham and pear crisp sandwich was just awesome. It's just a, you know, a couple pieces of grilled sourdough bread with a couple slices of ham, some sautéed pears and a slice of fontina and a slice of Swiss all melted together.
Wow.
It was pretty much the only thing I ordered when I went there. I know they have a lot of other great stuff on the menu.
Well, you can't go wrong with the sourdough
that
bread.
Is definitely
any restaurant that's like decorated in Ralph Steadman art, like, they're all right in my mind.
Well, they were huge campaigners for the gay rights causes.
Oh yeah.
Vote No. They did a big fundraiser.
Yeah,
like they did.
And there are a bunch of people that were like, I'm never gonna go to your restaurant again. Like, fine.
Yeah, they were like, good, don't
We're not interested in feeding you hateful pieces of
All right, so
last one is, what's the stupidest comment you received regarding your atheism?
And this is kind of a tough one because pretty much the rest of my family, except for my older brother, is still very, very religious. Mm. And, you know, at almost every kind of family gathering, I'll hear some sort of comment or attempt to bring me back into the fold. And, you know, I don't know if it's a single comment or, you know, comment that really just gets me, but I'll call it a gotcha mentality behind some of the questions or comments that I get, and that, you know, we're going to stump the atheist.
Because they want to know.
Right.
They're asking you because they want to see you fuck up a question.
Yeah. And if this person, they kind of go into it with the attitude that, well, you know, if he realizes that, oh, maybe he doesn't answer this question, well, then... Boom, God, Bible, Jesus, everything, Christianity.
It'll all just come flooding back in.
It's like
you broke the dam.
Yeah. I've tried to explain to them in more calm moments that these questions, I realize I don't know everything. That's one of the reasons why I'm an atheist. It's because I don't know everything.
Right.
I don't believe I have this connection to this all-powerful being that does know everything. I kind of call it hubris by proxy. They will talk about how they're all humble.
We're humble. Our God rules everything.
Yeah. But we're going to try and get you every chance.
Right. We're humble. It's just that we're absolutely right, and if you're wrong or disagree with us, you're going to suffer for an eternity.
Yeah. That's how wrong you are.
Like, you know, if they trip me up on some, you know, minor aspect of evolutionary theory that I may not have read up on yet, it's
of course, the trick is they haven't read up on anything.
Right, but, I like to say sometimes that I'm a militant agnostic, in that, you know, when it comes to is there a power, intelligence behind the universe, I ultimately don't know. But neither do you, so don't act like you do.
Sure.
And there's a huge leap from thinking that maybe there is an intelligence behind the universe to God, Jesus, Christianity, original sin, all that baggage that comes with
it's a lot.
With human created religions and. Yeah. You know,
human-created religions, that's a good term.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah,
They are. Like, religion is a human creation. It's not a divine creation.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, there's a quote from Penn Jillette that I like, where he said that if all of science were lost tomorrow, people would go back and rediscover it all. Mm-hmm. If all religion were lost tomorrow, we'd probably end up with something, you know, resembling it eventually, but it would be completely, like, you know, it would resemble what we have in it, you know, would not resemble what we have today.
Right. It would
in any detail.
It's not like
Christianity would show up again if we got rid of everything.
It's like how there's Christianity resembles some pagan myth, Egyptian myth.
They all build on one another.
There'd be the Pythagorean theorem. It'd be called something different, but they'd have the same mathematical proof.
Jeff's theorem.
Good old Jeff.
Well, you know, he figured some shit out. All right. So thank you so much, Norm. This was a fantastic time. I really enjoyed having you guys. It was great.
Thanks a lot.
One more thing. I want to say that for having me on the podcast and for kind of adopting Camp Quest for your holiday season fun drive, you're all going to get Camp Quest 2012 t-shirts.
Yay! That's amazing.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you so much. It's the first time
we've gotten swag for being a podcast.
We will totally take a picture of us wearing them and send it to you guys. That's awesome.
That's so great.
So yes, please go to our website and donate at the Camp Quest button, or you
if we can reach our goal, we can have a Geeks Without God sponsorship.
And if you want more information, you can go to cqminnesota.com or .org. All right, excellent. So this has been Geeks Without God. Thank you so much again. Our guest has been Norm Barrett Wick, and this is
no relation.
As always, you can like us on Facebook, and we do post there sometimes. So get over there and like us. We are partnered with Fearless Comedy Productions. You should go like them as well. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks to Melissa Kerscher for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
No, he's like, your podcast is awesome. They're just like, I love your theme song.